Hey everybody, producer Dave here. I am not really good at making these things that go before the podcast, but here goes. We're going to try it anyway. What I want everybody to do is check out our other shows. We have The Intellectual Dollar Tree. You can find that on any of your podcatchers. It's great. You can also find it on YouTube. Also want you to check out the Thursday Night Scientology stream. You got to check out Down Ballot. Check out Catterday. Check out everything we're doing. Go to echoplexmedia.com. Sign up for our Twitch at twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. If you have a few bucks to spare, sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/echoplex. Enjoy the show.
So many nice people in this world, accessible to kindness and ethical blindness. So please excuse my sarcastic tone, I'm a bit underwhelmed by the sample shown. Mr. Pistro, fraternity guy, pick up a ass with bloodshot eyes. Get drunk and fight every night. Idolize Bradley, belittle women's rights. Homophobic, racist, and don't give a fucking hey. Do you think you can drive a bigger truck? So wear your baseball cap to the side to let everyone know that you're a nice guy. So cool, we're so impressed. Lots of chicks and a barrel chest. Cause you're a real man. Punch for punch, gonna piss in your face while you're passed out drunk. I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. He's a nice guy. I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy, she's a nice guy, but all of you're assholes. Nice guys rule the planets. Why just can't understand it? But could abide by deception and lies. Social Darwinism and an overdose of pride.
Fuck off, sure, fuck.
I don't wanna hear it.
Fuck off, sure, fuck.
Read into the lyrics, cause everybody gets their just desserts. Long as you remember that nice guy's bitch. You're next on the list. Such a nice guy who speaks through his fists. Prick with a penchant for messing with heads. A broken nose for dinner and breakfast in bed. Alcoholic, paranoid, and suicidal too. But you're probably kill her before she gets away from you. Screws in a blue blood and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Tomatoes, I'll pack your bags. Bury you like cats, really.
Suck my whatever. Welcome to the podcast part of the show. This is the interesting intro as I'm doing it. This is the Plex. We do the show live every Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific and beyond into red light. If you're listening on the podcast, which more and more of you are doing lately, not quite caught up to the intellectual dollar tree yet on the podcatchers, but it's starting to climb a little bit closer. But make sure you're following this podcast on your podcatcher of choice. And if there's one installed on your phone that it won't let you remove, also fucking follow it on that. It's good for me, good for you, and it doesn't hurt you at all, and it'll just like
use a little bit of your Wi-Fi data to download. Also follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Check out our YouTube. Never mind. Nobody does that. I'm Producer Dave. You can find me damn near anywhere.
And I'm Historian Matt, and you can find me on other Echoplex Media shows, including Catter Day, even though I missed Catter Day last time, but I'll make it eventually. I'm sometimes in the chat on some other shows, and it's on Intellectual Dollar Tree this past week, but that's probably not going to be a regular thing. I have a conflict, and it just happened to me that that wasn't there last week. And what else? I forgot to mention in the upfront, but I just had my birthday. I turned 42. So thanks to everybody for me surviving this long, I guess. I don't know.
Thanks to the giant meteor for not hitting the planet in this, enduring that window of time and the window of time that preceded it where your ancestors were.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Dave, want to give the people what they want?
I don't hate the cops. There's a person inside when the truncheon stops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Oh, when the raiders come, who will protect the shops? Don't hate the cops. They're a sensitive bunch. If you don't stop throwing your rocks, snap, crackle, pop is the sound of a taser. Your body drops. Don't hate the cops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Thank your local police, cause they don't do nothing wrong. Thank your local police, got rid of the corruption and the racism is gone. They've been keeping the peace, keeping homeless folks out of the parks and malls. Got a cure for your social disease. Follow the law, don't hate the cops. 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 Just doing their job. Don't hate the cops. Well, you gotta wonder how much would it cost for you to be shot at and stabbed at by maniacs and drunks. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops.
All right, everybody, don't hate the cops. That's not, we just run that because it's funny. We have one friend, not going to name any names, did not know that song was ironic or satirical, had to explain it. A little weird. So we're going to get right to it here. The first story of this week is there is some new audio that indicates Trump's delusion is getting worse. That's what the Crooks and Liars thing says here. It's an interview sometime after January 6th. Also, Silver Fox Anderson Cooper is going to introduce it. So, like, I mean, say what you will about Anderson Cooper. That's a good-looking dude.
Of interviews, and I want to play part of the interview for the first time. It's about 5 minutes long, but you ask him about the January 6th and the insurrection, but it's an important part, so let's play that.
What did you hope they would do when you said, go up there and stop this?
Well, I heard that people wanted to go down to, you know, that wasn't my rally per se. That was, there were a lot of people that spoke. They had rallies the night before. They had speakers all over the city. You had hundreds of thousands of people. I would venture to say, I think it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before. It went from that point, which is almost at the White House, to beyond the Washington Monument. It was, and
he's lying.
Yeah, and I think they probably had like one person out there, maybe.
Well, no, this is the crowd on January 6th. There was a big crowd there, but it wasn't like from the White House all the way out to the fucking Washington Monument. That's like Martin Luther King's speech status crowd size.
Yes.
Like that's I don't know the geography of DC really well, but I know
I think it would have been Martin Luther King is still more the
right,
but Million Men March was still more, but it's still a lot of people.
But it's on that like level. It's like
it's all of the ellipse.
It's that's a lot of
some
fucking
other stuff.
Yeah, there weren't that many people there. If there would have been like that many people there, then they would have taken over the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they probably had the maximum number of people that they could have had without taking over the Capitol. Or if like a third of the people that were doing it for the gram weren't doing it for the gram, they would have taken over the Capitol.
Many, many people have told me that was a loving crowd. And, you know, it was too bad. It was too bad that got, you know, that they did.
There were just some...
From my statement.
Mr. President, I apologize. What we're trying to understand is... Not blame, not castigate.
No, I understand.
We want to understand, what did you want when you said, go up there? What would you have dreamed?
I would have said that you will show not to go in, although they were ushered in by the police. I mean, in all fairness,
they weren't ushered in, but the police, they had a wider perimeter around the building, right? And there were not enough police for the number of people there, so they brought the perimeter in. And that's where it looked like they ushered people in. Also, some police fucking like decided it was better to kind of play along so they didn't get killed. Took selfies with people and shit. Don't know if that was right or wrong, but I just, you know.
I just saw a documentary on that, the whole, everything that happened on January 6th. And I don't remember the name of it. I think somebody's dropped the link at the humanist community forum last week or something.
I just blew vape smoke at you. I'm sorry about that. It was for effect.
Right.
It's like the X-Files.
Right. It was really fascinating. Like they were not ushered in. They broke into the Capitol.
They stole a door.
And they stole a door.
It was a nice door.
You don't have to steal a door if they usher you in.
I wonder if it was like attached to anything when they stole it, or if they just found it in like a supply closet.
No idea.
The Capitol police were very friendly. You know, they were hugging the kids. You don't see that, but
what?
Plenty of tape on that too. You know, because the Capitol police were. That's the way it is. But I wanted. I mean, personally, what I wanted is what they wanted. They showed up just to show support, because I happen to believe the election was rigged. At a level like nothing has ever been rigged before. There's tremendous proof. There's tremendous proof. Statistically, it wasn't even
completely
possible.
Delusional.
I mean, things such as if you win Florida and Ohio and Iowa, there's never been a loss. There was a
loss. Did you need better lawyers? Because they took it to court, but they
I mean, just because you lost those states doesn't mean that it's not possible. Just because you won those states doesn't mean it's not possible you could still lose. Like, they just said that's historically that's happened. That doesn't mean, like, mathematically you can't lose.
Right. Just because something's historically unprecedented doesn't mean that it's mathematically impossible.
Right.
Lots of historically unprecedented things are happening all the time. Has this guy ever heard of fucking technology? Well, you didn't used to have a phone that fit in your pocket and got Facebook on it. They didn't used to have Facebook. This is unprecedented. It can't be true. Like, what? That's unprecedented doesn't even mean unlikely. It just means it hasn't happened.
Right.
Like a meteor hitting the planet is not that unlikely. It just hasn't happened. Or it hasn't happened in like human times, or at least a big enough one. Like, never mind. I'm going to shut up. Chat's about to be like, shut up, Dave.
I was afraid to take it. Don't forget, if you take all of the everything out, take all of the dead people that voted, and there were thousands of them, by the way. We have lists of, you know, obituaries.
No.
If you take the illegal
so immigrants. I wouldn't be surprised if there were over 1,000 people who filled out their ballot, sent it in legally, like via vote by mail or whatever, and then passed away afterward. But them's the breaks.
I guess it's possible because 1,000 is very, very small. But I don't think so. I know they did some follow-up on some of these lists when they actually released their lists. You know, like the Republicans that are compiling these lists of supposed dead people or somehow people who voted illegally. When somebody else gets their hands on them, because they're keeping them close to the chest for some reason, probably because they're totally bullshit. But when it's actually people checked out some of the dead people who supposedly voted, they find out that it's like somebody else who is voting under their name because they're legally allowed to do that or some other stupid thing, or just somebody with a similar name or something like that.
There was one case where it was just like literally a person with the same name.
Right.
Who was very much alive.
And it's like the name that they had like on their list was just a first and last name. It wasn't even like middle name or anything like that. So of course it's going to match a bunch of people.
Indians that voted, if you take this, the Indians that got paid to vote in different places.
Wait, what?
That didn't happen.
Indians getting paid to vote.
Does he mean Indians from India, or does he mean like Native American folks and he's just shitty?
I'm pretty sure he means Native American and he's just shitty. Not positive, but I'm like, that I really think he did.
Many, many different things. All election changing, not just, 12 people. I mean, all because they were all very close. You know, the five, it's only in five places. If you take that, forget all of that. It's massive numbers, but forget all of that. If you take all of that, just look at one thing. The legislatures of the states did not approve all of the things that were done for those elections. And
that's bullshit, too, because under an emergency, the governor has some powers.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that was going on. Also, like, mail-in voting is fine. I don't remember the last time I didn't use a mail-in ballot. What about all the down-ballot elections in those places, too, where Republicans won? Was that fraudulent?
No. See, just the non-vote for Trump, the vote for Biden
right, gotcha.
Was fraudulent, but the rest of the ballot is fine.
Because there are people legitimately in those places who voted party line Republican, but did not vote for fucking Donald Trump because they didn't like him.
Yeah.
And there are people maybe who voted party line Democrat otherwise and voted for Donald Trump. I don't know, but
probably.
Like, what about the whole rest of the election? They won like all kinds of state house seats and stuff. Is all that fraudulent too?
Under the Constitution of the United States, they have to do that. And the Supreme Court,
I don't even know what he's talking about at this point.
Don't forget, they didn't say, well, we disagree. They said, we're not going to hear the case.
That basically means it's so stupid and we totally disagree.
I guess
shut the fuck
thought
up.
That it would be violent, maybe. And it was violent the other way, perhaps. I don't know. But I guess they thought that it would be violent. But the Supreme Court of the United States, in the Constitution, it says you can't have local politicians setting the rules. And they
but said, you can. That's what the local politics job is. I mean, they can't be like little local fiefdoms or whatever, but...
Ugh. Voting ballots, many, many different things. And these were Democrats going to Republican, with the exception of Nevada, which was a Democrat legislature. And by the way, they did for the most part approve, but they had things that they didn't approve. But the other ones had very little done, almost nothing. So they were setting illegally all of these rules, regulations, everything. Poll watchers who were absolutely brutalized and thrown out. We had no poll watchers allowed in buildings for days. Okay.
The brutalized thing is bullshit, but I don't know what's up with the poll watchers.
With that, the judges just would not rule.
They did rule. They ruled no.
They ruled against you.
If you had bad judges, that's like 86 bad judges. Were they afraid? Some of them were people you appointed.
No, that's true. I'm not saying. I appointed them, and I was very disappointed in them.
Aww. They did their job.
So when things are thrown out of court before they reach any kind of hearing, it's usually on technicalities like standing or Austin Bennett. You didn't do your fucking paperwork. So his lawyers were like that fucking Release the Kraken lady and Rudy Giuliani. So if you could imagine, the paperwork might not have been filled out right, or they didn't do things in a way such where the complainant had standing in the court where they were doing the where they were trying to make the complaint, and the court was like, well, you don't have standing, we can't do this, sorry. It wasn't like, yeah, when your stuff gets thrown out immediately, it's almost always like a matter of standing or a paperwork error. Those are like the two most common reasons your lawsuit gets thrown out as soon as it hits the desk of any judge or any, even a court clerk would be like, ah, there's no, you know, we can't do this, we didn't have the paperwork. The judge has to rule on it, but they might listen to the court clerk because the court clerk knows about the paperwork. They'd be like, oh, the paperwork's not here. Like, shit was all misspelled and shit and all that. Do you remember reading some of that shit? Did you see any of that where the fucking shit was all misspelled? And
like, no, I didn't.
Like, shit was done incorrectly in all the suits. And so the courts just threw it out because the courts were like, well, this is all done incorrectly, so we're not doing this. Yo, that guy's hella delusional.
Yes. But we kind of knew that beforehand.
I don't know why he couldn't just lose gracefully. You can just be like, oh, I guess I lost this time.
Do you really think Trump ever loses gracefully? That's why he always wins.
Right, because he can't. It's when you don't count the misses and you only count the hits. It's how a psychic is 100% accurate, right?
Right, exactly.
Like, I predicted this. It's like, well, what about your other predictions? Or like, what predictions? Like, no, that was a suggestion, actually.
Yeah.
That was an idea, and we just talked about ideas. So we're going to move on. Meghan McCain. It doesn't think that the people at Fox News are spreading vaccine misinformation, or she's unaware of it, which is really interesting because she has nothing to do all fucking day long but get ready for The View, and she knows what the fuck they're going to be talking about on The View. But she's like, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Us who have done everything we've been asked to do since the beginning, and it's just terrible all the way around. I wish we could all come together on it, but I was watching Fox and Friends this morning. Steve Ducey said, get the vaccine. Fox and Friends is like the mothership of MAGA media.
Wait a minute. No, that's not what the ratings say. Tucker is where all the ratings are. She's wrong.
And if someone like Steve Ducey is imploring people to get the vaccine, I think that's effective. And not everybody on Fox News is you know, saying don't get the vaccine. I actually haven't heard anyone say that, but maybe I'm just misinformed.
Maybe not. Maybe they haven't said it out loud, because as we know now, the former president and his wife were vaxxed, got the vaccination when they left office. I mean, there are things people can do, and maybe.
So she's just wrong. Absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
She's wrong because she thinks Fox and Friends is like where they get all their ratings. That's not fucking Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham is like that. Fuck, that's where they get their ratings. That's at prime time. If Fox and Friends was the ratings hall, it wouldn't be on at fucking I'm Not Awake in the Morning.
Right.
Right. Those aren't the people that bring it in.
I'm Still Awake from the Previous Night.
Right. Oh, maybe. Ooh, a lot of meth heads watch Fox and Friends. So here's the next clip from that. I think they're going to. Sunny Hostin, who I don't know, is going to correct Meghan McCain, as is a thing that happens all the time. And Meghan's not going to be like, do you know who my dad was?
Were vaxxed, got the vaccination when they left office. I mean, there are things people can do, and maybe Steve Ducey doing that will have some impact, because the only people, as you both pointed out, both you and Sarah, that are really feeling the hell of this are people who are not vaccinated. And the CDC had just called this the pandemic of the unvaccinated. So who do you blame for this, Sonny?
Well, I don't know. If the question is, who do I blame? I think you just have to look at the facts. I mean, the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy on Thursday labeled health misinformation an urgent public health threat. And when you look at the stats, Fox News has played a key role in disseminating anti-vaccine propaganda. Fox has undermined vaccination efforts in nearly 60% of all vaccination segments in a two-week period. That is where this misinformation is coming from. Specifically, Media Matters found that between June 28th and July 11th, Fox News aired 129 segments about coronavirus vaccine. Of those, 57% included claims that either undermined or downplayed immunization efforts. And I think the goal here, to Joy's point, why are Republicans doing this? Why is Fox News doing this? Well, I think that they believe that hurting the Biden administration's vaccination efforts will lead to big wins for the Republicans in the midterms. And so this is really just all about politics, and I think it's despicable, and I think they're harming their base. It's just very sad when you think about it, because I would bet my bottom dollar that every single of those Fox News hosts, like Laura Ingraham, like Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, I bet you they're vaccinated, yet they're still pushing this propaganda. And that is really, really ghoulish and pretty harmful.
Yeah, get them.
Oh, I have a legal note, everyone. Facebook responded to the criticism.
Oh, I want to hear what she said about Facebook. Oh, I wanted to hear what she said about Facebook. Like, yo, the other thing is, there's just money. There's always been money in spreading anti-vaccine propaganda. Otherwise, like, it wouldn't be so pervasive, and it wouldn't have, like, survived all of this.
Absolutely.
They, like, Tucker's doing it because he thinks he's going to make money on it, or he thinks his show's going to get ratings. Like, the anti-vaccine, like, something like fucking 35% of people who are in polls that say they're Republican don't want the vaccine. That's a hefty part of the fucking base. That's hefty. And those are the people who are going to be devoted. Those are the people who are going to love you if you spread anti-vaccine propaganda. And that's just the way it is. And you can't really do anything about that. And I, like, she was about to talk about it. I blame the social media companies. They could have put the brakes on this a long time ago. Like, before COVID, they could have just said, no, you're not using my website for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just want to point out, like, when you said that there's money to be made with the anti-vax stuff, it's most of it's not like directly from, like, it's not like they're putting out an alternative to vaccination. Some of them are, definitely. But a lot of it is just like getting people to watch your show. And then once you have a bunch of eyeballs, advertising something else, you know.
Right. Or, you know, Tucker Carlson isn't doing this, but for other people, it's Patreon, right?
They can get,
like,
yeah.
Anti-vaxxers will give you $5 for sure if you're, like, popular and spreading their message. That's right. What's going on with the Weinstein and Heather Hying. So here's Dr. Fauci versus Rand Paul, part number, you know, 6,000,000,053. But Fauci's starting to get a little more spicy now that Trump isn't the president. Yeah. Not as spicy as I'd like, but, you know, I wish he would be like, hey, can you give me your neighbor's phone number? The one who tackled you? I'd like to congratulate him. Not that spicy, but, you know, as close as you're allowed to get.
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And
yes.
I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
and I'll be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally
this committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator. those viruses are molecularly impossible to result
in SARS-CoV-2. No one's saying those viruses caused the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that.
Could have been.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Senator Smith.
Like, I'm not a big fucking Fauci stan or whatever, but eventually somebody had to be like, look, you're fucking lying. Like, why are you lying on this, like, in this committee?
I mean, and Fauci, like, nailed it. Like, he's not, Rand Paul is not, like, saying specifically that the United States funded COVID-19 itself, like what ended up generating, but he's very much implying it and dancing all around it without saying exactly that, because that's exactly what he wants his base to think. And it's stupid and disgusting, and I'm glad Fauci called him out on it.
He said this paper, hardcore. He had the paper in his hand that Rand Paul was talking about. He's like, people who study this matter think this is not a paper about gain of function. I don't know what the fuck gain of function is, but I don't think Rand Paul does either.
Yeah.
And there's not enough time, but it would be great if he'd be like, Senator, if you don't mind, could you tell anybody watching this, what is gain of function research and how does it relate to this? And he'd be like, oh, I'm the one asking the question, sir. And he'd be like, oh, you don't know the answer to the question. Okay.
No, I feel like Rand Paul's a little slimier than that and would give some definition that only fits his points, you know, but well, it's all bullshit.
After that exchange,
no idea what he's talking
after
about.
That exchange, Fauci went on to Sean Hannity's show.
Wow.
You kicked off your questioning of Dr. Fauci, emphasizing federal law makes lying to Congress a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Is it your belief based on the evidence, Senator, that he lied before Congress and broke the law?
Yes, and I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress. We have.
Whoa. Well, that was a way too short clip.
Wow.
But yeah, there, it's more lock him up, lock him up. They're trying to like get this guy thrown in jail for like saying shit they don't like.
For doing his fucking job and doing it well.
For the most part, yeah, it seems like people who are like other virologists and whatnot believe he has generally done his job well. That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it, but I sure trust him more than Rand Paul. So we're going to move on. We got Marjorie the Gathering. She's going to talk about how the church is going to die.
Okay.
Now I'm speaking to a church. I have a great pleasure to speak to you all because here's what I found out by visiting today. You're a church that is walking and living and speaking through your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the church all over America is silent. Our church is complacent. Our church is not...
I don't know about you, but I don't know any churches that have been silent ever in their existence.
I think what she means is they're not spreading her message.
Oh, okay.
It's that kind of silent.
Right. Not pandering to her.
Right, right. Which, you know, I guess good on the majority of churches, I suppose, because they don't pander to this QAnon loon with her and her Fred Flintstone feet having ass.
The church is basically dead. And this is why we have the America we have. This is why we live in a country that's murdered over 62 million people in the womb.
Abortion, she means.
Precious place and most safest place for a baby to grow. But that's not what happens. This is also why we're living in a country that is destroying what is moral and right. Saying that transgenders can go into women's bathrooms and
transgenders. When anybody says it that way, you know they're a bigot.
Yeah.
There are a million other ways to say trans people who are trans folks, trans people. But when you say transgenders, like it's not that like saying it that way is inherently bigoted, I guess, but it's that everyone who says it that way is a fucking bigot every time, every time.
Yep.
And yeah, people are just going into the bathroom to pee. When they talk about this shit about sexual assault in the bathroom, it doesn't happen. Like, it's not that it never happens. It's just that, like, a public restroom with a bunch of stalls, that shit echoes.
Yeah.
That is not a place. I'm not going to lie. I've tried to have consensual sex in such a place. And, like, it was a little bit difficult because it's, like, not really the place for it. And so if you're trying to do it, like, with somebody who's resisting, somebody's going to hear it and you're not going to be able to do it. Sexual assault happens, like, usually it's somebody you know. Date rape's a thing. It's a friend. It's in a private place, usually, or sometimes out in the middle of nowhere, maybe in a car, but not in a bathroom. Not only is it echoey, but if that person gets a hold of your neck or the back of your neck, there's a lot of hard surfaces for them to smack your fucking head against. Like, if they want to really defend themselves, if you want to defend yourself, a bathroom's not a bad place to do it if you're smart. But this is stupid. Nobody's doing this. Is sexual assault is just not happening in bathrooms anyway. And to the extent, and to the, that it sucks that it happens at all in bathrooms, but this is not a thing. This is not where a high percentage of sexual assaults happen because it's echoey. And other people are walking in and out all the time.
In girls' bathrooms.
People are nosy. Sports,
rape centers and jails, and putting a biological man in a dress, their rights above ours.
No, not above, just the same. Even if you believe that framing of a biological man in a dress, which isn't really what trans people are anyway, because there are trans men who this person would claim is a biological woman and I don't know, like not a dress. But
yeah.
But even if you accept that framing, they're not, nobody thinks that they have more rights. Well, I think most people should have more rights than Marjorie the Gathering, but that's different. That's just my personal opinion. And I'm like kind of half kidding. But after her behavior and the way she's behaved, yeah, I think we should take some rights from her. Give them to some trans folks. They deserve them. They've been stepped on for a very long time anyway. Church ain't dying. And if to the extent that it's dying because of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, not because the church is too liberal or too accepting.
Because there's a lot of crazy people who are running these churches and trying to push crazy ideas. And so people are like, don't fucking care anymore.
Yeah, poll after poll, when people are asked, like younger people tend to be less religious. And when they're asked why, it's like bigotry against LGBT people ranks pretty high on the fucking list. Why those people aren't religious. So if the church is dying, it's your own fart. Your own fart. Marjorie the Gathering.
That's right.
All right, so this clip's really weird because you can't really hear the question that well because of the way the mics are set up. But the answers are... you don't care what the question is.
Requiring vaccines for things.
You can't hear the question.
Is that your position on all vaccines? Because a lot of them are mandated for a lot of people.
But people can also say, due to religious reasons, they can choose not to take vaccines. And I think it's really, you know, it's people's choice. It's definitely should be a choice. And we also have to remember, we're talking about a virus that I think it's nearly around 99% of people survive it.
It's not true.
And so this, thank God for that, right?
Okay, so it's 97% supposedly, but that's like, seems like, oh, you're like, oh, that's only 2 percentage points, but that's fucking 3 times.
Well, you're forgetting like the 10% that have like ongoing complications after they get it. Like, it's not just people are dying. It's a bad disease and it will harm you.
Yeah. And they were saying in chat, 1% is extremely high, but I think it's 3%. So that's 3 times the rate that this person is saying.
It's between 1 and 3%. It depends on how it's being measured. I don't know if they're totally sure what it is. But it's high. That's really high. Anyways,
well, the reporter is going to ask, do you believe in science? You're not going to hear that. And she's going to answer with her no.
Responsibility for keeping people in Georgia safe. You know, there are children, skinny people who have died of the coronavirus. Do you feel any responsibility?
Tia, you cracked me up. You know what? I think people's responsibility is their own to read the information, and it's everywhere. You can't go by any street corner practically and not see something about COVID-19. I believe in people's own individual responsibility to read, to find out, and to make their own decision.
Do you believe in science, though?
I believe in God, And of course, there is science. I don't worship science or think that science rules everything. I believe that God rules everything.
Plenty of people who believe in a God are also like fairly credulous and deferent to scientific research.
You took down the image, but she was saying, I don't worship God, or I don't worship science. That's what she's saying. She doesn't worship science. In a room or where everything in that image was made because of science.
Right, of course. That's
And I think including her hair.
Right. So Marjorie the Gathering is going to talk about her own vaccine status. That'll be, I promise I'll stop calling her Marjorie the Gathering after this week.
Aaron Navarro, CBS News. Lipska Lee said today he got vaccinated, citing this Delta variant that's going around, and said he's confident that it's safe and effective. Two questions. Have you yourself gotten vaccinated, and do you disagree with the Republican whip?
Well, your first question is a violation of my HIPAA rights. You see, with HIPAA rights, we don't have to reveal our medical records, and that also involves...
That's not a violation at all.
Yeah, fuck the rest of this clip. HIPAA is about people who already have your medical records and how they handle them.
It's about hospitals and doctors. Like, it's not about...
Right, and your insurance company.
Insurance company, not just, like, somebody asking you. Now, it's perfectly fine if she refuses to answer, but it has nothing to do with HIPAA.
Right. Basically, HIPAA is about doxing someone's medical records, essentially.
Yeah.
If you have access to their medical records, legal access to their medical records as a healthcare provider, an insurance provider, anything kind of in that orbit, and you don't protect them properly or you release them without authorization, you've broken HIPAA laws. Me asking, Matt, have you been vaccinated? I already know the answer is yes. I would never ask you that because I know you're like pro-vax. And if you hadn't gotten it, then it's really none of my business, right? Because maybe you have some kind of medical issue that is none of my fucking business that you haven't told me about. But like asking somebody ain't no HIPAA violation. We ask people all kind of questions about their medical history.
Yeah. I mean, again, like she could just have said, I don't want to answer that question, but then she would have looked like even more of an idiot than she already does. But I don't know. Saying there's a HIPAA violation, I think that made her look worse. I don't know how somebody like that is in any position of power.
Gerrymandering.
Yeah.
Gerrymandering. Seen her district? It's like all...
No, I haven't, but I believe you.
It's like stalactites or some shit coming off of the... Anyway, here's Tucker Carlson. He said he's not attacking the vaccine. He's just against lying. Then he casts no doubt on vaccine and says... whatever. It's only 17 seconds.
I'm hardly attacking vaccines or trying to convince people not to get them at all. I never have done that and won't. However, I'm against lying. And they're telling us that once you get vaccinated, you can't get it or spread it. Here you have vaccinated people getting it and then spreading it to other vaccinated people. Maybe we should start being honest about the limitations of the medicine. No?
But nobody's saying that it's impossible. That there's the argument is that it's like incredibly less likely.
I don't know what he was saying before, because he was just saying, right, that he's not against the vaccine,
right?
But in that clip, but there is nothing wrong with the vaccine. Get it? But his spreading like doubt is the problem,
right? What is it? Instead of manufacturing consent, it's like manufacturing dissent, right? It's like and the other thing is like there's no medical procedure that has like 100% like success rate. Nothing wrong, bad, or anything ever happens with people die from taking aspirin.
Yeah.
Like, and getting it and spreading it is a far cry from being hospitalized from it or having it kill you.
Yeah.
And that's like the studies are showing that some people might, less people are going to get it in the first place, but then those who do might tend to be asymptomatic, or if they have symptoms, they're going to be mild and they're not going to the fucking hospital and it's not killing them. So good.
Yeah.
Well, here's more Tucker on the vaccine. Here, he was just saying a minute ago that he wasn't really casting doubt on the vaccine or whatever. So we're going to watch him probably do just that here, I suppose.
Yep.
So the government keeps a database and has for decades on vaccine harm. It's called the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting Database, VAERS.
Yeah, I read one where it made somebody walk backwards.
Really?
Oh yeah, I'll send you the link. There's the batshit VAERS fucking thing. It's like a, it's got like links to all the batshit stuff on VAERS. I've got a Google Doc. It's pretty funny. One of them said it made his wife leave him. Of course, he gave gave some people the gay. You know,
of course,
because it's like anybody can report it. And so, like, first of all, people are just clowning and trolling it. Right. But also, there's like anti-vaccine groups that are probably coordinating to create false reports on there.
Yeah.
Tracks the side effects of vaccines and their side effects to all medicines. You're not allowed to read it, though, and if you do, people attack you, so we ignore it. That's why today almost no one noticed when the CDC updated the VAERS database, but we did notice it, thanks to Alex Berenson. Our Matt Finn is tracking what exactly those numbers are right now. Hey, Matt.
Tucker, the CDC's website posts an active tally of death reports being reviewed as potentially linked to a COVID vaccine. It's called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. That tally sat around 6,000, then suddenly spiked to 12,000, and now fell back down to 6,000. A short while ago, the CDC told us the drastic fluctuation was an honest mistake. The domestic death report tally was temporarily combined with the international number, and that has since been corrected. This evening, the CDC tells Fox News the current confirmed number of deaths being reviewed as possibly linked to a COVID vaccine is 6,207. That means 6,000 reports have been submitted to be probed for a link to a vaccine. The CDC tells us that many of those 6,000 reports have already been reviewed and determined not to be caused by a vaccine. In fact, the CDC insists that so far it has only independently confirmed three total deaths were linked to a vaccine. They say all three of those came from the Johnson & Johnson shot. Tucker.
Uh-huh. Matt Finn, thanks so much. Good to see you tonight.
So the question is, we kind of, what the number? They didn't pause it on that image, but they pointed out in one of the images, he didn't say it, that even if it was 6,000 people who died from getting the vaccine because of the number of doses that were put out, that was like 0.0018%.
Right.
Which is way less than the 1% death rate
that they claim from COVID.
Yeah.
Like way less. Not just a
way
little less.
Yeah.
Like way less. Like what, like 0.02% of the death rate they claim from COVID or something like that.
Yeah.
If my math is right.
Yeah.
I'm the ultimate math nerd. But also, like, those are VAERS reports. Those are just people self-reporting.
Well, not self-reporting, because the dead can't report.
Right, but but family and friends are reporting.
Yeah.
Most of it's not medical professionals making the reports.
Number is, we can debate that. The question is, are we as a country or the federal agencies...
Vaccine coercion!
...making good faith effort to find out what it is and then to care about what it is? Why wouldn't we care? If Tylenol, there were claims that Tylenol was causing people harm, we'd look into it. But news organizations aren't looking into it because there's an enormous amount of pressure just to ignore it. We're not following along, of course. Everyone else is. At CNN, they're worried about reports of vaccine-related injuries. They're worried that you'll hear about them. Said they spend most of their time daydreaming about ways to punish people who refuse to take the vaccine.
Do they?
Ways to punish people?
I think they're reporting what people are doing to incentivize people to get the vaccine, because apparently we don't have enough people getting the vaccine, so it's still, the disease is still spreading.
Well, as we continue our Tucker Carlson segment, it just keeps getting worse. My ex-boyfriend Charlie Kirk was on the Tucker Show, and he's talking about vaccines and virtue signaling.
Of course.
But why is a news channel doing this? Any news channel, a lot of them are. I mean, CNN's in-house doctor ran Planned Parenthood. She's not in the life-saving business. These are not physicians. These are not experts. And yet they're speaking with this moral authority.
Wait, how do you know the person who ran Planned Parenthood was neither a physician nor an expert? Just because they ran Planned Parenthood?
No idea.
Oh, man.
You must do this because we know, and of course they don't know, and questions that anyone else raises, including on this show, they shout down immediately with slurs. Like, when did this become their role to do stuff like this?
That's exactly right. And the other question is, why all of a sudden in the last 48 hours has there been this almost coordinated effort of people on the establishment center right kind of virtue signaling and telling every single person to get vaccinated while we're still...
Because you should get a fucking vaccine.
Increase of activity on the...
Because it's mostly their voters not getting the vaccine, and somebody crunched some numbers and they're like, hey, if like another 500,000 people die because they don't get the vaccine, we're going to lose.
I mean, not only are there people dying, but it's showing that they don't know what they're doing and are getting people killed.
VAERS database. And we're seeing story after story, not to mention what Dr. Robert Malone has said on your program and Dr. Brett Weinstein. And so
Dr. Brett Weinstein? Oh, no. Charlie.
Of certain institutions that think they're supposed to do things that they really aren't. And Tucker, I'm glad I received this email because we got an inside look into what CNN's trying to do in this regard to public health, and it's very disturbing.
Like trying to give people good information about the vaccine? Sorry, everybody. I don't really have any influence over Charlie anymore. He left me. I think he left me for Nick Fuentes. That's just the way it goes. So we have a palate cleanser.
Okay.
We got Tucker Goes to Chipotle.
This evening for dinner, I went to the popular Mexican food franchise, Chipotle. I got a run-of-the-mill chicken burrito with cheese, lettuce, and the rest. And then they asked if I wanted chips. I replied, of course, chips are delicious, but I don't want any guacamole on. They understood me, but upon getting to my car and looking in the bag, I realized that they did give me guacamole with the chips. Now, we know that guacamole is a liberal media tool that they use to brainwash the youth. So why would they give me, Tucker Carlson, guacamole? There's only one logical explanation for this. They're trying to brainwash me.
That was spot on. That was really good.
That guy's impression of Tucker is hella good.
Yeah,
he even like looks a little bit like a young Tucker Carlson. Not like Tucker looked like him as young, but if you were like, hey, Tucker Carlson looked a little like this when he was young, you'd be like, I could buy that.
Yep.
Yeah. But the fucking impression and like the inflection, the up and down kind of almost like sing song way that Tucker Carlson talks in too, that shit was just fucking spot on.
Yeah.
So next up, we got Greg Gutfeld. He seems to have, if you take a look at his logo, you can see it on the bottom of the screen. It says Gutfeld. He stole his logo from Garfield.
It does look like it.
He straight up yoinked that shit from fucking Garfield. Like, that's not only lazy, but I like Garfield. Garfield is this angry kitty, and we like angry kitties around here. Well, he's going to talk about hate crime in America.
Yeah, that made sense. The obvious point, racism exists. Just check a Coke employee training session. But it's harder to actually find these racists today. You want to ruin your life? Be a racist. So the left contrives racism. Today, expecting kids to learn math is white supremacy. Geology is racist. Comedy is racist. The only thing not racist is racism against white people. That's why so many...
Why do they always bring up math whenever they're talking about some stupid education thing?
It's because everybody hates James Lindsay and thinks he's a racist, I think. And James Lindsay's a mathematician.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just a guess. Because everybody hates James Lindsay.
No idea. I mean, it's not like these guys could do math anyways.
Well, Greg Gutfeld could probably add.
Oh, okay.
Crimes that we got to concoct them to meet the media's demand. I'm thinking about starting a production company that specializes in staging fake hate crimes. I have a call into Smollett's people. Look, things could always get better because things are always worse. Somebody should tell CNN, who still thinks it's 1955. It's ironic that people who call themselves progressives are stuck in the past. But to deny that it's gotten better is not only dishonest, it's harmful. It's like the condition Munchausen by proxy. The media keeps telling us this nation is diseased with chronic racism when it really isn't, until it is. What does the angry white male think?
That sucked.
Wow.
Yo, he said he was thinking about starting a consulting firm or some shit to make fake racist attacks. That seems dishonest.
Yep.
But also it was Greg Gutfeld.
Mm-hmm.
So We have another palate cleanser. This comes from a man in Montana who has a discussion with Tucker Carlson at, I don't know, they're in a wooden room, so I don't trust either of them.
I don't care, man. Just dude, you are the worst human being known to man. I want you to commit to this state, to the United States, to everything else in this world. I don't care that your daughter's here. What you have done to people's families, what you have done to everybody else in this society.
You couldn't really hear it, but he was like, you're one of the worst people in the world, or you've done bad things to the country, bad things to the world.
Did he approach Tucker, or did Tucker, because the video just started, they're already
I couldn't find discussing. I couldn't find like a longer version of the interaction, to be perfectly honest. I always do check, but Tucker wasn't expecting that, especially in a wooden room. He felt safe, felt comfortable, thought maybe there was some ivermectin in there. So we got a couple things left here. We're not going to get to all of them. Let's do Jesse Lee Peterson hosting a panel on women's liberation. This is one of those things you're never going to ever unsee.
I want to know.
All guys?
A big mistake to educate.
All guys.
Women. I want to know, was it a big mistake to educate women?
Wow. Sorry, whoa. I talked over that earlier.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Hey.
Yeah.
So why was it a big mistake to educate women?
Because look at them. They're already like conceited and think that they know better without that stuff.
So not only was it a mistake for women to vote, it was a mistake to let them be educated as well?
Right.
Amazing. You say?
Yeah, it seems like it.
The globalists want women to be educated.
I know.
Remember that Mahalalala? That woman?
What?
Mahalalala?
She got shot in the face by some Muslim radicals.
Mahalalala?
She's like a 13-year-old Muslim.
Wow, it's like getting, you know, misogyny and racism all together there.
This guy's still on YouTube.
And she got shot in the face because she wanted to be educated.
Yeah. On the education thing, too, I realized you kind of have to have the love and logic of a man to protect yourself from getting too into education.
Chris, was it a mistake to educate women in America?
Well, in one sense it was, but I mean, it was done on purpose for nefarious reasons. The quality of everyone's life, again, we are living in a really nice society. We have all these nice things. The quality will continue to go down and down and down until we're literally in hell, unless we turn this thing around.
Unless we stop educating women? What? What the fuck?
Yo, I didn't think that. I mean, I didn't watch it. I knew it was going to be bad, but I didn't think it was going to be like that.
I did not expect that at all.
Whatever, it's Jesse Lee Peterson. He really, really hates women. Did you know he's married?
Barely. I don't know how.
I mean, they'll give anybody a marriage license.
Like, yeah. I was more like, I don't know who would want to marry him after comments like that.
Maybe they don't watch his... Oh, maybe he married some... God, I'm not going to say the thing I was about to say. Maybe he married one of them good, uneducated women who doesn't know how to operate YouTube. I don't know.
Oh.
So we got one last clip. Has HIPAA gone too far? During this clip, I actually watched this because it was a little long, and it's quite good. During this clip, I'm going to go ahead and grab myself another cocktail because I saw somebody say drinks in the chat. This is...
Well, the title is exactly what we said earlier.
Yeah, yeah. This is great. This one's going to be like, I think the guy on the right is going to suggest that HIPAA like makes it illegal for you to pray for someone who's sick.
What?
Whatever. You know.
On Monday, and what do you need to see in that bipartisan package for it to get your vote?
Yeah, no, great points, because I am confident, Garrett, largely because I trust the people that are negotiating, both the Republicans and the Democrats. There's a sincere effort. The framework from the beginning was a pretty good start, but as you know, it had some pretty you know, wonky pay for, some things that the Democrats objected to, some things Republicans mm-hmm. objected to. That path has been cleared, which was major. I think, you know, we know that a compromise package is going to have some things we like and some things we don't like. I don't think anybody expects anything differently. I think people largely want an infrastructure package, so we're doing the right work. And I have confidence in them, and I do have confidence that they're going to get, we can get to 60. I want to be one of those 60. I've talked to other Republicans who want to be a yes if they can get there. What I'd like to see is, I want to see a preservation, of course, of the traditional formula. This is sort of inside, you know, highway bill stuff, but the formula where it's a 90% split, 90-10% split between states getting 90% and grants being the other 10%, the 80-20 split between, you know, traditional infrastructure and transit, you know, but everything I've seen is that there's a very strong emphasis on traditional infrastructure, and those things that aren't so traditional are still hard infrastructure, whether it's transmission lines or some resiliency.
Right.
So I think it's a good faith effort, and I think a lot of people want to get to yes.
I've heard from a lot of Republicans who are still linking this bill with the reconciliation package that Democrats right. are working on separately. Are you watching that $3.5 trillion out of the corner of your eye? Does that potentially play into how you would vote on this?
So, Garrett, I, from the very beginning, have always believed that the two are very separate, and they ought to be judged separately. The merits of each can be judged separately. What Democrats do with the $3.5 trillion in trying to pass it through their, you know, their straight partisan means is really irrelevant. If the $1.2 trillion, or if it turns out to be $800 billion, or $1.1, whatever it turns out to be, if it meets the standards that I want, including some permitting reforms, I want to be for that. What Democrats do, I can't control, but I can control this side. I think it has the additional value, Garrett, just the process itself, has the value of the American people seeing people in Congress working together across party lines to accomplish something good for the country. And I think we badly need something like that, and this provides that opportunity.
I think the President of the United States would agree with you there. I want to ask you a little bit about the January 6th committee stuff as a former sure. House guy here. You know, right. we are here.
He's a former House guy. You know what this guy's going to say? He's going to throw his other former people under the bus.
Oh, okay. Because
he isn't in the House anymore.
Because Republicans in the Senate, yourself included, voted against the bipartisan independent commission that could have kind of codified its seat at the table for Republicans and could have taken this outside of Congress. I wonder now, with what you're seeing in the House, do you regret opposing the commission given the way this has now all unfolded?
I don't regret it because I think you would have taken what was a bipartisan commission and still been under control of Democrats and would have been turned into a very partisan deal, which, by the way, is exactly what we're seeing played out in the House. You know, the Speaker appoints this.
Oh, he's currently a senator. He moved from the House to the Senate.
After
okay.
some reluctance, obviously, the Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, appoints some Republicans, and right away the Speaker shows her bias by saying, well, no, we can't have pro-Trump Republicans, only, you know, skeptical Trump Republicans, and it just exposed the partisan nature of it. So I think that
would a commission not
exactly
have prevented that?
That
I mean, is there
I
there
mean we really can't have, you know, foxes in the hen house
partisan then?
Well I think that the
yeah, this is stupid.
Exactly,
like,
the way to
basically there were people who are pro-insurrection in the House of Representatives, and you don't want them on the fucking committee to investigate it. Yeah, it's like the fox guarding the hen house, or in this case, the fox being like in charge of security for the hen house.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I mean, it's, you don't really want anti-Trump. You want people who can be like as unbiased as possible, which is not really possible in our climate, but, you know.
Or just as humans.
Yeah. But I mean, something, you know, you don't want the other side. You have somebody in there to protect the bad people.
That's why we're here. That's why we're elected. That's why in a 50-50 Senate, that's why the work of the two committees that have jurisdiction did such good work and came out with some findings that will be helpful going forward. But wanting to expand that and review history in the context of the next election or whatever the case might be, I don't think you need an extra commission, an extra layer of bureaucracy to do that, and that can be politicized, and we're seeing exactly that play out in the House, and I think you'd have seen exactly the same thing by a, quote, bipartisan commission.
I want to review history with you just for a little bit here. The sure. Washington Post reporters Carol Lenning and Philip Rucker posted some audio from their recent interview, I believe actually it was in March, with the former president, who had kind words to say about some of the individuals who stormed the Capitol that day. Listen to this for me, if you would.
Sure.
In all fairness, the Capitol Police were ushering people in. The Capitol Police were very friendly. You know, they were hugging the kids. You don't see that.
They weren't kissing anyone.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
The Capitol Police were...
I took a couple selfies.
But I wanted... I mean, personally, what I wanted is what they wanted. They showed up just to show support.
Senator, you were in the Capitol on the 6th. You said on the 7th that anyone who tries to rationalize or explain away January 6th does a great disservice and that you won't excuse it. Do you think that's what the former president is doing in this interview?
Yes.
Well, I didn't hear the whole thing. This is the first time I've heard that piece, and I noticed at the very end he said to show support. And I think he's been pretty consistent about that, Garrett, that, you know, the people showing up to show support is one thing, but what I can't rationalize is people who showed up to show support and that those numbers that came to the Capitol clearly violating law. Going,
oh, I can rationalize it. Your party is full of crazy people. And this guy, he's of a certain age, and he was in the House before, and he either contributed to it or never saw fit to fucking raise hell about it.
Yeah.
He's part of that machine. I don't even know that much about him, but
breaking through doors, walking through broken glass to get there. And granted, some of them probably didn't intend to do something as egregious as that, and they got caught up in the moment. But they were easily persuaded. I don't rationalize it. I don't
persuaded by who?
Anti-cop behavior by anybody. I think that if you rationalize it by one side, you lose the moral authority on the other side. So no, I don't share that view at all. I think that everybody that walked through and walked in that night, regardless of their intent, you know, violated law at some level.
This
and
guy's rationalizing it, right?
Taking place.
Yes.
It may be
he sounds like he's not, because he's saying, I'm not going to rationalize it. I think it was atrocious, and then proceeded to rationalize it and explain that people got caught up in the moment. And that's rationalizing it.
Yep.
It's not necessarily bad to rationalize something and try to understand why people did what they didn't and suggest that they weren't completely irrational why they did it, right? Because as soon as you say, well, these people were just irrational, then you've taken away their agency, and that's not good, because then they fucking aren't responsible for their own behavior, which we don't want. So, the chat was right. This guy proceeded to rationalize it. I think a lot of people were just there for the gram, and I thank my lucky fucking stars for that shit. Because that shit would have been ugly if all them people were organized.
An equal.
The people who stole the door seemed to know what they were doing.
Rioters and lawbreakers that represent a different political view, however, throughout this country.
Well, I don't know that there were a lot of rioters in the Capitol representing a different political view on that day. I know you're referring to folks like Antifa and protesters in other cities, but I think you get into dangerous territory when you start to compare those two things in this context. Senator, I want to ask you a question on a different topic. We've been paying a lot of attention to COVID this week. We've seen surges around the country
just this week
because of the Delta variant. Yeah. You're one of a handful of senators who've decided not to say one way or the other whether or not you've got the vaccine.
The answer is yes. He's gotten the yes. The answer is yes. He's the Republican from North Dakota, and his constituents refused to get it. He jumped the line, probably. The answer is yes. He got it.
Responsibility is to your constituents, or how you discuss this with your constituents back home. You know, imagine a lot of folks in North Dakota would probably trust Kevin Cramer more than they trust Anthony Fauci, would probably trust you if you told them even to go talk to their doctors about it. How do you navigate that in North Dakota, and what do you think your responsibility is to those folks?
So I think one of the greatest things, well, the greatest thing about the American experiment is that we're a self-governed democracy. We're not a democracy like all of the others. North Dakotans are very savvy people. There's no shortage of information that they can...
That's actually one of the problems. There's no shortage of information, and a lot of it isn't fucking true. And the outrageous anti-vaccine stuff spreads a lot more quickly because it's better, it's marketed better.
Yep.
Marketing my position that you should just listen to the experts because they know what they're doing, that's not very sexy, actually. It's hard to market that position, and it's a wonder that we've gained, not me on this show or whatever, but the people who are advocating particularly against Brett Weinstein have gained any kind of foothold. Shout out to all the people who've been fucking screaming like at the top of their lungs about this for a while, because we finally started to gain a foothold. But it's so much harder. This guy was vaccinated first, for sure.
Yep.
I'd be willing to bet as a senator or as a House member, I don't know which he is, which he was when he got the vaccine, he was first in line.
Access to make their decisions, whether it's Anthony Fauci, doctors, you know, MSNBC or another station or the internet. People are very well informed. They don't need to be lectured to. They don't certainly don't need to be bullied. They respond more negatively than positively to that. And frankly, I prefer to listen to my constituents than lecture them and inform them. I inform them about what's going on in Congress. I'm not a great informer of what's going on in their personal health care. And I think, I also think, Garrett, and I think you know this about me, I want to honor the people who are legitimately skeptical. Now, I don't share that view. I happen to think that getting vaccinated is a net gain. I think there's less.
So he's vaccinated.
Vaccinated than not getting vaccinated. I've been very clear about that. But people make these decisions themselves for themselves and for their families with legitimate questions about the vaccines.
But
probably not that legitimate.
This interviewer is actually not doing a bad job, and I hope what he says is, hey, when people come to you with questions, where do you send them? Like, where are you sending the people with questions? Because you're in a position of authority, right? This would be a person who could be like, hey, I know you have these questions. Here's what, here's, you know, science-based med, nope, never mind. Those are dumb. God, that guy Gorski on there is great. He's dunking on people left and right.
With legitimate questions about the vaccines that have only been around a short time.
What would qualify as a legitimate question about the vaccine? I'm genuinely curious.
Sure. For example, we have a vaccine that because of Operation Warp Speed, which I supported, and which without Donald Trump would not have happened. I don't know another president in my lifetime that would have made Operation Warp Speed happen.
No, they wouldn't have called it Warp Speed. That's the only difference. It
worked exactly the same way.
That would have been like
everybody would have fast-tracked a vaccine that is badly needed
in time of
a pandemic.
They would have not called it anything. They'd have been like, oh, we've cut through some red tape and it looks like we can get it out by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Not, we have Operation Warp Speed. Also, take hydroxychloroquine.
Such warp speed. That said, it hasn't been very long. It hasn't been through the type of rigorous reviews that other vaccines have had, and we are just now seeing some outcomes from that vaccine. So people being hesitant or wanting to wait to see how it plays out is perfectly logical to me. But North Koreans are also logical in other ways. They know how to take care of themselves, how to protect themselves and their children. So I want to honor that personal privacy, by the way, which is also critical. We can't pray for people's healing in church anymore because it would out their health situations. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why we should be outing
everybody. Watch.
You know, their health situations. So I don't know why we should.
You can't hide it. He's trying.
Personal decisions on vaccinations.
Oh. I'm not sure who's telling you myself. You can't pray for people's health in church, Senator Kramer. You're certainly welcome to pray for mine. I'll pray for yours. Thank you for coming on. And I'm going to ask one of our doctors on the panel later today about those questions about the vaccine. For folks who might be curious about that portion of that.
They're not watching MSNBC.
We'll come back to that later. So thank you for raising.
Say what you want about MSNBC. Their audience is vaccinated.
Yep.
Well, that docket sucked. Thank you for riding it out with me. I mean, it was a fun show, but the docket sucked.
Yeah. So, one of these days, we're going to have to worry about all this COVID and vaccine and masks and all that bullshit anymore.
No, it's been good for us. But
we'll be on to something else.
It's only good for us because, I understand the sort of rhetorical tricks and the games that are being played by the conspiracy theorists, right?
Yeah.
That's not a good thing, by the way. I mean, first of all, it's a good thing that I have a pretty strong mental constitution, right? And that I don't get too terribly upset and depressed or whatever about the state of the world. But also it's just bad for the fucking world that this is oh, Dave's really good on these subject matters. Shit's gone really far down the rabbit hole when people are like, you know who's real good on this stuff? Dave from Echoplex. He kind of understands the way these people think. He's been covering this for a while. That's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, time to read us out. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you didn't enjoy it and listen to the end all the way through, you really are people. Make sure you hit us up twitch.tv/Echoplex Media. And just, I don't know, patreon.com/Echoplex if you want to give us some money. And make sure you join our Discord at discord.me/Echoplex. Producer Dave and historian Matt out. Oh, Live listeners, stick around. You know the drill.